Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, May 31st, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with me. Yvonne Bo, just before we started, noted that, you know, this is, what is it, Labor Day weekend, Memorial Day weekend? Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
I always get them confused. I don't know. And Yvonne has already been celebrating, so this should be fun.
I went to the beach to drink margaritas in the afternoon. I mean, I don't know. It was pretty good.
You know, we went to IKEA.
Well,
kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah, pretty similar.
We were thinking about getting some more shelves for my office and some like replacement for the what do you call them, the little things you put clothes in a bedroom. Anyway,
I mean, you mean a dresser?
Yeah, that kind of thing. We're gonna like replace that kind of thing, but not with a dresser. They have one of these like shelfy thingies with a
door. Oh, one of those shelf ones. Okay.
Yeah or something like that. We were thinking about that, and then we got there, and we bought like some little stuff, but we didn't end up getting any of the furniture because on my part for my office, I was supposed to remember to like sort of measure the space it would go in, and I forgot.
And you forgot.
So I was like, well, I want this one. And Brandy's like, well, that one won't fit. I'm like, I think it'll fit. And then we're like, well, we should probably like, you know, measure.
Measure. That would be smart. I'm looking at it now, and
she's probably right. It probably wouldn't fit the one I want, and I'd have to get the one that's one smaller. And you know, and then the other thing, there was like there was the cabinet thing, and it comes in like two heights, like a short one and a tall one, and then you separately pick the doors. But the doors we want.
How much was it? By the way, out of curiosity.
What?
How much was it?
Which?
Yeah, about how much was it?
Which
the
thing?
The one that you were mentioning that the to replace the chest. I mean, where you were putting the clothes thing.
Oh, you know, it's one of these things where it depends because like it's mix and match. You get like the case and then
right.
you pick what kind of drawers you want and all that kind of stuff. We were talking a few $100.
A few hundred, okay.
Yeah. For the combination we wanted. You know, you could go a lot cheaper. Or you could go more expensive, depending on what combination of doodads you got and what kind of door. But like the thing is, like the door we wanted didn't go with the size that we knew would fit. So once again, we were in like a, you know, oh, we have to go back and measure. So we said, screw it, no furniture. We got like other little random crap, you know, yeah, the little kind of stuff you fit in a shopping cart, but no furniture.
Okay. But given that you are living in a rental place right now, but I think that probably would be, I mean, that's the most ideal because, I mean, I did the closets where I got these, you know.
I mean, well, you custom. Built out the closet, the inside of the closets.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, this is like, we've got closet space too, and that's okay. It's like actually not bad the way it's organized right now, but this is like, aside from that, but you know, and you know, I've always been an IKEA fan. Like you know, yes, it's you know, cheap and expensive, plain, you know, and some of it is really crap, but some of it's okay, and you know,
some of it is decent. I mean, other than the you know, the only really bad experience
is putting the shit
we had. Oh no! I mean that's fine. No, the only really bad experience we had ever with IKEA stuff is that when we were in college, I bought these pots and pans that I bought in IKEA.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, after I left for school, I left them for my brother and my sister-in-law who had moved to the States, and they took them with them to New Orleans. Okay. One day she was boiling something or had frying oil or something in a pot. I don't remember exactly what happened. But she forgot about it and left it in the stove for a very, very long time. And when she got over there and saw what was happening, she pulled it off the stove because the thing was like melting. I don't know what the heck exactly was happening. But the bottom of it came off.
Yeah.
And it hit the linoleum floor and it started a fire.
Oops.
Okay. And yeah, they weren't too keen then on the whole IKEA pots and pans.
Well, see, the other part of this year was my mother's actually visiting right now for a few days, and she had never been to an IKEA.
No shit, really?
Really?
Wow.
And okay. We're like, you've never been to an IKEA? What do you mean you've never been to an IKEA?
I mean, the first time I went to an IKEA must have been like 1980s, for crying out loud.
And I know they're not everywhere, and but there I'm was like, one, the last...
Wait,
the last,
well, wait. Your parents lived near in the D.C. suburbs, and the first IKEA I ever went, which was the first one in the U.S., was in the D.C. suburbs. Yeah.
Yeah, like I was saying, like, you know, and I know they're not everywhere. However, like, the last three places she's lived are Ohio, Massachusetts, and Maryland, you know, excluding Africa. And there are IKEAs in all three of those places.
There's no IKEAs in Maputo?
I don't think so. Yeah, it might be an exciting new market for them, but, you know.
I mean, I don't know. I'll look it up. I don't know.
Anyway, enough about that. We had a fun, you know, fun time at IKEA. Anyway. So the first actual topic we had on the agenda for today was just an update on the oil spill. And the last I heard was the whole top kill thing they were trying to do to stop it did not work. And so, you know, they're...
But you know what? The one thing is there's a lot of confusion about whether it was working or not. With different things coming out, whether it was working, it wasn't working, it was working, it wasn't working. And then finally, bottom line, didn't work. Yeah. And I just don't understand why those conflicting reports came out.
I think it's because it's one of those deals where at first when they started it, it looked like it was reducing the pressure, and then they looked at it more carefully, and it's not reducing it enough, and it's still getting through, and then it was clear it wasn't working. But, you know, here's the thing. From the very beginning of this crisis, they've known that the right way to solve this is, what did they call it?
The relief well.
The problem is the relief well takes several months to do.
That's right.
You know, and so they've been, you know, trying to do these various stopgap measures to try to slow it down or stop it prior to them doing the relief well, which presumably the relief well efforts are underway regardless. It just takes several months. And, you know, every single one of these, they've known, you know, the odds aren't – like the best odds I've heard for any of these things are like 60-40. And the thing they're trying now that the top kill has failed, they're saying the odds are even less. And even if it's fully successful, it will not stop it. It'll only slow it down. You know, so, you know, here the answer here is the relief well. And, you know, people are just going to have to get used to the idea that this is going to keep going until they get that in place, which is going to be another couple of months.
Yeah, oh boy.
You know?
I mean, it's really frustrating. I mean, you know, that we can't fucking stop the stupid thing. I mean, I've heard a lot of people trying to blame either, look, you can blame the fact that we weren't prepared enough before this, or that whatever the hardware or any mistakes that were done before it happened. I mean, I'm not trying to get into that right now. The one thing that's just frustrating is you just can't fucking stop the thing now. I mean, it's like, you know, you've got – I was looking at some of the numbers. There's 1,300 ships out there deployed, okay? I mean, there's –
That's a lot of boats.
That's a lot of fucking boats. I mean, we've got – I mean, we're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at this fucking thing and can't stop the fucking oil from coming out. You know? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of the diagrams of everything they've got deployed on top of this fucking thing right now. They've got everything of – you know, I don't know, every fucking piece of hardware that you can think of. And – still doesn't matter. Fuck. Still can't stop the damn stuff.
It's
just frustrating, I guess. You know, I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, you know, if we want to have another discussion about how basically, you know, this kind of activity had been, to say loosely, regulated was, you know, an understatement, and how, you know, even I guess some of the measures, security measures to contain something like this, obviously were not good enough, and some didn't go as far as what other countries had or demanded from oil companies. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was wrong, but unfortunately, I mean, at this moment, we can talk about this all you want, and we can try to figure out the fact that every administration administration that has been, at the driver's seat of the presidency was wrong about how they were doing this. But honestly, it's just not going to stop the fucking oil right now. I mean, this is just, I mean, it's not a thing. You know, some people saying, well, the federal government should take over this and that. I don't think the federal government has the expertise to do this. You know, BP is not even doing it themselves. They're hiring companies and equipment and everything that has the expertise to try to stop it.
Right.
That are the best at doing this, and they're not being able to stop it. Okay? So it's not for a lack of, say, things being thrown at it right now. It's just not worked so far. So we are where we are, you know, unfortunately.
Yep. Okay. Anything else to say about oil? I mean, I don't know. There's not much else to say. I mean, you know, they're trying. You know, eventually it'll stop, and then there'll be cleanup for a long time.
For a long time. Yep. For a very long time. Yeah. Yep. I mean, there's just, I don't think there's that much else to say about it.
Okay. You know? Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second with something else.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudge's Corner. Yes, this is a break. 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 Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
Okay, we're back. Next on our agenda was to catch up on Apple news and rumors. I guess first off the bat is officially now, although there were some unofficial, you know, people saying that this had happened a month ago or something, but Apple is now bigger than Microsoft.
Yes, now it's official. It happened on May 26th.
To be
precise.
Of course, you know, stock prices go up and down. They could go back and forth a few more times, but, you know, the remarkable stuff about this, and we sort of mentioned this a couple weeks ago, is, of course, you know, you go back, you know, what? How long do you have to go back? 10, 15 years? Anyway, you know, in the late 90s, you know, lots of people were saying Apple's dead. It's over. It's, you know, they have lost the computer wars, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they had a small and shrinking market share. You know, they had very loyal users, but it wasn't getting them anywhere fast. And would you agree the turnaround pretty much started the day they brought jobs back, or was it earlier?
Yes. Oh, no. No, it absolutely had to do with the fact that brought Steve Jobs in. And if you read a little, I read in detail a couple of different books that explain why Apple had been struggling so much, you know, from the mid 80s till the late 90s. And even if you read that, you can see that you can draw some parallels to why Microsoft has been struggling to some extent. Now, not to the same extent as Apple did at the time, but why Microsoft's development efforts have been floundering over the last number of years. The main thing that you saw was very unstructured R&D, which wound up with many projects going, engineers really being at command, not being held accountable for delivering a product at the end, and basically the engineers just running amok, just doing work and never delivering on anything. Okay, or projects being killed by management because there was no roadmap of what was to be developed, that there were no expectations. Everybody just ran their own fiefdom of spending money, doing cool projects, and then somebody said, "Well, that project may be the future, but it fucks up what I'm doing right now, so we'll kill it." And because there was no CEO that really properly directed, listen, we need to head to this, then projects would die quickly. And just a good example. In around early 90s, 91, I believe the year was, a group inside Apple had developed how to transition to Mac OS to Intel platform.
Yeah.
So it could run on any platforms. They actually They had collaboration from Intel, a group of Apple engineers. They had prototypes. They showed them. They worked somehow because of internal politics and because of no lack of clear direction from the top. The project got killed. Now, if you think about, we're talking about at the time when this was before even Windows, Windows 3.1 had come out. It was even before that. I mean, if Apple had launched this, unleashed this software on all the clone manufacturers, they probably would have killed the market. But it didn't happen. The project got killed by internal bureaucracy. Game over. And there were a lot of projects inside Apple that went like this. Even like, for example, the move from Mac OS 6 to 7 to 8 and how it just never came out. It never came out. Or if it came out, it was buggy. And that's the kind of lack of focus that I see a lot on Microsoft right now, where Microsoft right now is spending four times the R&D that Apple spends a year. Four times. They're spending $8 billion a year versus $2 billion for Apple. And yet, if you talk about tangible products and breakthroughs that Microsoft comes out, I mean, I'm like, shit, for that kind of money spending, you would think you could get a lot more shit delivered. Okay? And that hasn't been the case. I mean, it took them really to deliver an upgrade to XP. It took them to fucking, 2009 from 2002? It took them 7 years. I mean, you think spending that kind of – putting that kind of resources to something – you could have spent – I mean, it would have taken a lot less time. But I think that it's the dynamics of the management and of the bureaucracy. I actually had been – a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to an ex-Microsoft employee who just resigned 2 weeks ago, left for a senior position at Juniper Networks. And he was talking about this. He himself expressed the frustration how it's just – he feels that the company has gotten so bureaucratic and just so bloated that it just can't get out of his own way. That's, you know, that was what they told me. So,
okay.
Yeah, you know, until that changes, I don't see how Microsoft can advance quickly in the market right now.
Well, yeah, I mean they're just clearly no longer in a growth position. They're at this point they're about maintaining their current they got a level of dominance in the business market, in the business desktop and laptop market. And the question is how well they can keep that at this point. They have to sort of get
that. They are not poised to grow faster than market or to create new markets. They're just milking their existing markets.
Right. And the thing is, they have to, even within those existing markets, they have to start moving and innovating again. Because, yes, there is a very large inertia away from changing anything there, but they wait long enough, they're slow enough, that will break down around the edges. And also, of course, you know, Apple hasn't even targeted that market in any seriousness. But you know, at some point, they may. I mean, and the time may not be ripe yet, but...
But forget about Apple. Other companies, you know, seriously. I mean, it's not just even like it has to be that Apple's going to target that business market. I think that a lot of the competitors that are out there, say Oracle, HP, Google itself, are targeting a lot of the pieces of the very lucrative markets that they have. And, you know, I think that eventually, I mean, if they don't move faster and more efficiently, what's going to happen to them is very similar to what happened to IBM in the early 90s as the mainframe era started to crash and burn real quickly on them. Okay,
because I mean they felt they had an unassailable position as well.
That's right. And all of a sudden it became easily assailable, and all of a sudden their profits that seemed, you know, a gusher that would never stop, all of a sudden ceased much faster than they ever expected. So,
yeah. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I know there are workplaces that are becoming more Mac friendly than they used to be. On the one hand, you're absolutely right. Some of the Google business offerings are tempting for a lot of small businesses. I think a lot of big businesses are sort of still wary of storing stuff in the cloud, but, you know, things are changing very rapidly, and they will change more rapidly in the next couple of years. So,
well, when you talk about the cloud, I think the main problem that you've got right now is why most big businesses will not move to any of the current existing cloud computing platforms. Is that if you move to any of these, you're stuck in them. I mean, you can't really migrate out of it and say, oh, well, I don't want to be running my software on the Google Cloud. I want to move it to the Microsoft Cloud. How the fuck would you do that? No way. There's no real practical way.
Okay. There are some tools, but you're right. It is one of the barriers that people are afraid of. I mean,
yes.
And yes, to make that completely something that would be trusted easily, there has to be an easy in and out of everything.
And compliance and data security and, you know,
A lot of big businesses are just fundamentally wary of the notion of not having direct control over their stuff physically.
And not just that, but I will tell you that given what I've seen, Google's data centers are nowhere nearly fault tolerant or compliant to anything to actually be able to guarantee somebody's data security. Okay. I mean, I've seen the videos and honestly, they're very junky, to be honest with you. I'm sorry, haven't worked on designing and building data centers. I saw what they do and it's honestly disgusting. I mean, I don't see how I could sell that as, oh, here's our documented process to actually managing our data center and try to pass that on to anybody else. I would not. So, anyway.
So, okay. It's time for another break. So let's do the poem of the week, and then we'll be back in a second with yet more other stuff. We'll be back.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tell Motel.
For example, by Piotr Gwiazda. The poem is a walk for the newspaper, a dream returning over lonely lunch. It speaks in different voices like the radio. It's like subtitles in a foreign movie. It's like a fountain, sculpture in the making, the restless ostinato of a fruit fly.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we're back. Now, first of all, I realized when I said we'll be back with other stuff, and I've said that a few times, that I'm not following proper practices here because you're supposed to tease the audience.
You're
supposed to tease the audience to make them want to actually stick around through the break. So I should be like, you know,
and when we come back, Sam will do a naked dance. No. Okay.
No, more like, you know, see this man dangling from the building? Stick around. We'll tell you if he lives.
There you go. I didn't think about that.
That kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
So real briefly, we had some other stuff on the list, but we sort of got sidetracked from some of the Apple stuff and really spent more time talking about Microsoft and their competitive environment. Wrapping up the Apple rumors right now, it is the end of May as we record this. There are rumors that the next generation iPhone will be out within a few weeks in June, or at least announced in June, if not available in June. There have been all kinds of leaks. There's the big Gizmodo leak, and there have been a whole bunch of others. It looks like it's going to be a little bit squarer than the current one, and it's going to have a front-facing camera for two-way video chat, some other stuff there. I think it'll be interesting to see if that's just, video iChat, which has been available on the Mac forever, on the phone, or whether it's going to be some sort of thing where it's a different kind of calling offered through your carrier and priced accordingly. I'd be curious to that because I might occasionally use something like that if it was just, ubiquitous in there. You know, if I had to pay by the minute for it, I'd probably never do it. I don't know.
I don't know how much video talking I would want to do.
Here's the thing. I would do it very rarely. Like, here's the thing already, and this is, and we're going to go off on another tangent, but that's okay. Like, if you look at
the... We are the kings of the tangent.
We are the kings of the tangent. Perhaps I'm a co-tangent. I don't know. But anyway, the how people use phones is fundamentally changing and changing very rapidly. I'll tell you right now, I very, very rarely anymore make phone calls on my phone.
Oh, fuck, no. I'm sorry, but no, I got to tell you that. I spent last month 3,600 minutes talking.
Okay, well, you know,
I'm sorry.
You're a freak. I
got to tell you something. I am anti this fucking chat bullshit. I am sick and tired of all these fucking people avoiding talking in order to be sending text messages.
Let me ask you one question. Are these phone calls work or personal?
For the most part, work.
Okay, see, work is an entirely different thing, although I can't remember the last time I've made a phone call for work. But your work is a different kind of work than mine. But look, here's the thing. Like, I'll give you a couple examples. Since my mom is in town, we met up with a few of my cousins. Some of my cousins on my dad's side of the family. Within the Seattle area, I've got two cousins from my dad's side of the family and one cousin from my mom's side of the family. So first of all, to start with, you know, a few days back, I emailed them all saying, "Hey, my mom's going to be in town. Want to get together? Blah blah blah. Have you know, eat or something?" And you know, so the cousins on my dad's side, you know, answered, and we started to work something out. And my mom mentioned that she'd talked to the parents of my cousin on her side of the family and said, you know, so-and-so, you know, doesn't actually check email very often. If you want to get together with him, you have to call him. And I sort of looked at her strangely like, call? What are you talking about, call?
Fucking call, you dumbass!
No, and I'll tell you, like, no, I won't, I'm like, you know, if you I'm not going to call somebody. I mean, like...
Oh, for crying out loud. What the hell is wrong with all of you people? Now it's like, oh, you found a way to avoid more social interaction. Okay? So, yes, let me not talk to the person because I really hate social interaction. Let me just right now reduce it to a fucking text message.
Yeah, I'll text this back and forth. I'll email back and forth.
That fucking drives me crazy. You know, I want to meet and talk to people. Okay? I don't want to get fucking text messages from people, okay? Because, I'm sorry, unless you're sending me a text message because you're in a fucking meeting or because you're in a place that you can't talk, I mean, I'm sorry. I actually want to fucking talk to you.
See, now, I'm completely opposite here. I'm like, I don't feel like calling someone because it seems like an intrusion. Whereas the text message or the email is asynchronous and, you know, they can respond whenever they feel like, whereas the phone call is interrupting them from whatever they're doing. And, you know, when I receive a phone call, you know, 9 times out of 10, it goes to voicemail and then I'll consider how to respond to them later, unless it was something I specifically was expecting or, you know, I don't know. There are exceptions that I'll pick up right away. I guess most known numbers, if I know who it's from, I'll usually pick up, to be honest. But certainly an unknown number I'll never pick up, ever, you know.
You fucking people. It's sort of good.
And, you know, no, I the only people I have called to, like, because, hey, you know, I'm going to talk to them, are, you know, like my parents and my grandmother or something, who I'm like, you know, they're and specifically my mom will email back and forth. She'll you know, and she's on the computer and will IM back and forth or whatever. But my dad doesn't do any of that stuff. So if I want to talk to him, I have to call him. You know, so every once in a long while, I'll give him a call because I'll be like, "Hey, it's been a long time since we called." But I am not comfortable, and I've actually never been comfortable initiating phone calls.
Right. You know? So therefore, you found a fucking way to avoid doing it all entirely, which I am like really pissed off that this fucking technology exists to allow you to do such a fucking thing.
Fuck. Yeah, I probably, like, you know, it just and in day to day life, even for things like, you know, "Hey, honey, I'm coming home right now. Do you need me to get something on the way or something?" All of that's text messages. None of that's a phone call. I would never make that a phone call. I have occasionally called for that kind of thing, but it's rare. It's the exception.
Jesus Christ.
The normal is a text. Say, "I'm heading home now. See you in half an hour," or whatever.
You're killing me. You're killing me. You're killing me. You do the same fucking thing. I get pissed off. My stupid boss loves to send – doesn't even text. Loves to send stupid emails from his BlackBerry, okay, about idiotic stuff that would probably be a lot easier explained if we actually spoke about. But, you know, he won't answer the damn phone calls.
Well,
okay?
I will say that that's – at work – I'm definitely one of the ones who's actually going around correcting other people and saying, okay, look, this issue that you've been going back and forth on, just get them on the phone, or even better, go over to their desk in person and talk it out, because it'll get resolved so much faster. But like I said...
Exactly. You get caught in this idiotic email firestorm of 15 idiotic messages over something, if somebody had just picked up the phone and explained it, would have been resolved in 15 seconds.
Well, I want... Yeah, work is an entirely different environment, you know, but, you know, and look, if I was, there are certain things that are phone calls are still good for, and I certainly, there were times in my life where I spent a lot of time on the phone, talking to various folks, but even there, usually I would be, the recipient of the call, and it would then speak to the person for perhaps an extended length of time, but I would very rarely be making the call.
I see what you're saying. Okay. All right. Well, there we go. Technology has enabled Sam to encloister himself as his cocoon even further. All right.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, but
it's a good idea. I don't even know where the fuck we started on this subject. How the fuck we get here?
The other Apple rumors were free mobile me for everybody with like an iPhone or whatever as part of the package. Maybe for folks with Macs too, to encourage usage of that and capture people more through use of that service. Potentially a new version of the Apple TV, which would basically, instead of being based on what it is, being based on a variant of the iPad OS, or I guess it's the iPhone OS, but on the iPad, whatever. What are they calling it now? Mobile OS 10? I don't know what it's called, but anyway.
Whatever.
And streaming iTunes is also a rumor, but I don't think we need to talk any more about those. Let's take a break. We'll be back with one more thing. Oh, I should tease you. North Korea. We'll talk about North Korea when we get back. We'll be back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on,
baby. Let's do the twist. Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this.
I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way.
I got a dance.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we're back. North Korea, they, like, shot down a boat or something.
Well, it was a torpedo.
Okay.
Whatever,
the boat ended up falling out of the sky.
The boat was in the water.
Oh, okay. Okay, so a number of weeks, months ago at this point, it was a while ago.
Yes, so they were investigating very thoroughly to see what the heck caused the boat to sink, and they finally, after dredging the water, they figured out that the North Koreans definitely fired a torpedo on the South Korean boat. Okay, so that's basically the what happened. South Koreans basically are very, very upset about this thing. They've imposed quite severe sanctions on the North.
But wait, let's back up a second. What was happening here? Did a South Korean ship accidentally veer into North Korean waters? Is that what basically started? Korean waters?
Yes.
Okay. And so, and it was just minding its own business, and the North Koreans shot a torpedo at it?
Pretty much.
And so, what's unclear at this point, and I guess the North Koreans have denied everything right now?
Yes. Oh, yeah, they're still denying it. Even after they found the piece of the torpedo, they're still denying this.
So, I guess you know, one possibility here is, of course, you know, some North Korean captain got trigger happy, and it wasn't actually sanctioned by the North Korean government.
Could be. Could be.
Another possibility is the North Koreans are intentionally trying to incite the South Koreans.
Could be. Could be. I don't really see the other possibilities here. I honestly got to be honest with you. I really highly doubt that any North Korean, captain would do something without authorization from the government, given how totalitarian that state is. Okay, I honestly think that intentionally. I don't think so either. I think that Kim Jong-il was doing, like, he's everything that he's done, trying to get attention, trying to fucking, well, what was it? Didn't they shoot a tourist, like, some time ago, and kidnap some people, and, like, a whole bunch of other stuff?
Well, they had those American tourists that Bill Clinton had to go get back.
Right.
Or but I was talking about South actually, Korean.
A journalist, but I'm talking about South Korean tourists.
I don't know.
Yeah. So they did do that a few months ago. So they've just basically been doing everything that they could, that they've been able to get to do provocative in order to just, you know, piss anybody off attention.
But yeah. I was going to say, what's the real purpose here? The purpose isn't going to be to piss people off. What do they actually want?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Who the hell knows? This guy's a whack job. I mean, this is a guy. I mean, come on. I was reading about this here. I mean, there's no fence with the Chinese border, but there are snipers that are posted there to fire on anybody leaving the country. Why would you have snipers, you know, shooting to kill if somebody leaves your country? I mean, other than some kind of a real lunatic. I mean, who the hell does this shit?
Well, you know, I don't know. Fundamentally, yeah, I'm always suspicious when people are just like, well, you know, the guy's an idiot or whatever. There's usually something you can figure out from sort of a realpolitik point of view in terms of a result that they're trying to get out of it, whether it be the Iranians or the North Koreans or the Cubans or whoever. Yeah, there's something rational there. Like they're trying to, they feel like the only times that they get aid, for instance, like every time they rattle their sabers before, typically somebody comes and tries to essentially buy them off and say, okay, look, let's sign a little treaty
right.
where you promise to behave, and in right. exchange we'll give you all this food, we'll help give you electricity, we'll build you a power plant, you know, whatever
right.
it happens to be. And they only seem to get these things when they're acting up. So, you know,
right.
effectively you teach them. Yeah, I'm speaking as if there's like it's like a dog or something, but you know.
But it is.
You know, effectively you are encouraging bad behavior by, you know, whenever they sort of act somewhat normally and don't cause trouble, everyone ignores them and they don't get jack and they have their little economic troubles and blah blah blah. But every time they go and throw a little temper tantrum and do something, all of a sudden, people throw money at them.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So, I mean, I don't think this is irrational at all.
Well, no, I don't think it's irrational at all in that sense. I mean, what I'm saying is that it was certainly premeditated in terms of trying to get something. Okay, I don't think it was some accident of some, you know, a lone, you know what I'm saying? Some lone captain who went and like did it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that it was just, you know, some guy who decided to, you know, just do. I mean, it was Kim Jong-il. Is that his fucking name? Whatever. Yeah. Or premeditatedly doing this.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
So I guess more importantly about than what has happened so far, I mean, basically this has put us on once again sort of, you know, tenderfoot in the area. I mean, South Korea has been relatively disciplined at this point. I mean, they haven't shot back, you know.
No.
But essentially, I mean, one thing to remember here is these two countries are technically...
This is a fucking act of... There's still technically a war.
Yeah, I mean, there was never a peace treaty following the Korean War, just a ceasefire.
No.
you know? Right. And so, and not that the legalities make that much of a difference, but I mean, it's a situation where you've got, you know, heavily armed countries with a demilitarized zone in between, and you know, you've got the U.S. in there still having all kinds of resources and pledged to defend South Korea, et cetera. You know, it's a situation that could very easily spiral out of control. So far, everybody seems to have shown quite a bit of restraint. And from what I gather, although I haven't read any details, it seems like there is, you know, a lot of diplomatic activity flying around as well. Presumably to stop it from heating up any further.
Well, I mean, and I think that one of the things that that apparently is happening is that the Chinese, well, who had been very reluctant to, you know, they've been trying to figure out a way, let's appease them, let's do this, let's do that, blah, blah, blah. This time, they don't seem to be on that same, I mean, because I mean, they really crossed the line with this that they certainly hadn't done before. Okay, I mean, this is
they sunk a ship.
I mean, yeah, killed about 50 people.
Now, what kind of ship was this? Remind me, was it a?
See, I have pictures of it here. Some random, I was looking at some pictures.
Was it a random civilian ship or was it a military ship?
No. It was a military ship. But here we go. Let's see if I page 23 here. I actually have a magazine, heaven forbid. I know. I know.
You know, first you're like making phone calls. Now you're reading magazines. What kind of dinosaur are you?
I know. It's fucking unreal, isn't it? Here we go. Actually, they had a picture of that damn ship. I don't know. I was looking at a picture earlier. It looked like some kind of coastal patrol ship.
Okay.
You know, so think like a Coast Guard cutter kind of a thing.
Okay, well, you know, I guess the only thing to say here is it's a situation to watch because hopefully all the diplomatic people scurrying around talking or will prevent anything from happening here. And like I said, it looks like so far everybody's been pretty calm. It would have been really easy for the South Koreans to react negatively right away. Or negatively as soon as they confirmed what it was or whatever. So far, they have restrained. Hopefully it'll stay that way, because if they don't, again, it's one of those situations that could turn very bad very quickly.
Yes, it could probably turn very bad very quickly. So let's just hope that let's see what the heck happens. But, you know, okay. we'll find out.
And let's wrap up the show. I guess the only other thing to just quickly mention is...
What else did we not talk about?
Well, I don't really have anything to say about this, but I was going to note that both Dennis Hopper and Gary Coleman died this week.
That's right. They both did.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. But
Dennis Hopper was trying to get divorced from his last wife just as he was dying. Apparently, he couldn't stand the bitch anymore and wanted to, like, not leave her any money. I don't know if he wound up getting his last wish, but, you know, it's I was going to mention something. I did mention one of the subjects that I put out was the Facebook privacy controls. Yeah, okay, yeah.
They made some changes to supposedly make that a bit better again. I haven't even seen anything happen on my account yet.
I haven't really seen anything either. But what I've noticed, I was looking through a brother of a friend of my wife went and asked me to be friends with him. Okay. All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I, for whatever reason, well, I met the guy and he seemed cool. Okay, fine. So whatever. Okay. I'll accept his friend invitation. Here's one thing I've noticed about this guy though. I was just looking at my recommendations now for friends. Now I'm being recommended to be friends with a lot of strippers is what I figured out. Okay. And then I noticed who is friends with all the strippers. And I've noticed that it's him. I went and I looked through his thing, and he is friend with a lot of strippers.
That's lovely.
I mean,
not that those can't be very fine people.
No, those can't be very friendly people. I just found it curious that, I mean, he's either a fan of a lot of strip clubs or he's friends. dance with a lot of strippers.
Well, you know, there's another way too. Like, I don't know if you know this or remember this. One of our when we were back on the college radio station, one of the other shows was called The Right Angle. If you might remember, one of those two co-hosts ended up for a few years sharing an apartment with a couple of strippers.
No shit, really?
Yeah.
Which one of them?
The one with initials RG.
Wow. Well, I have a lot of very newfound respect for the man. Okay.
Anyway.
And wait. And one of the things that he also is he's a fan on, it's one of these maid services that they come dressed in underwear, larger, eh?
How excellent.
That's also... that's also a service that he's a fan of as well.
See, now the only thing I can say about Facebook recently is one thing I've been doing more recently, and I don't know why precisely, but you know, look, I at some point started connecting with a few folks I went to high school with, and then I've been getting more recently in the last few weeks. I've gotten a number of, and then sort of my standards loosened as time went on. Like at first, I was like, okay. Now, first of all, I haven't kept in touch with anybody from high school since high school. Not a single person, really. So at first it was like people that I was actually friends with in high school, or at least, you know, had at least some substantive interaction with. And then it moved from that to people whose names I recognize.
Right.
And then from that, recently I've been getting friend requests from people. And I'm like, who the hell is that? And then I look at the friends we have in common, and it's a bunch of people from high school. So I'm like, oh, okay, they must know me from high school, friend. But I still have no idea who the hell they are.
Well, but I've been very picky about this. As a matter of fact, I unfriended a whole bunch of people that I couldn't really give a flying fuck about what they thought any other on a day, and I couldn't really give a shit if they don't like me for it. But then I keep getting requests. I get this request from this guy who. Oh, I swear to God, I never spoke. Okay, yes, we went to high school. Yes, we have 13 mutual friends. But I never talked to this guy. Then, for crying out, why the fuck do I want to know anything about you now? I didn't talk to you then.
Yeah, I'm sure some of these people are in that category where I never knew. Like, there's one guy, I don't want to be too specific here, but you know, this, in case they end up listening, but you know, there are a couple people who, you know, even after seeing their updates for a few weeks or a couple months or whatever, I still have no idea who they are.
Their updates, and you're like, today I scratch my left ball, and you're like, oh, really?
I didn't know you for
20 years, and this is what I want to know now?
No, it's worse than that. It's Farmville.
Oh, the Farmville ones. Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, I must admit that me and my wife did play Farmville for a little bit. And then we realized, okay, this is bullshit. I did figure out very quickly how not to. You never noticed a lot of Farmville updates from me because I could figure out a way not to do those.
Okay.
You know, but a lot of, you know, are stupid. They still do send those. But the one thing is that the game is just idiotic. It involves those skills. I mean, really, the main things about it is it's like a fucking multi-level marketing scheme.
Yeah, it's to keep you in there.
Yeah, either add more friends or give them money. But it has nothing to do with playing a game to see your skills.
Hey, but somebody I know right now wants to share some blueberry bushels with me.
Oh, well. And I got somebody who is training their dog in Farmville. Well, you know, and I really wanted to know that today on Sunday. I'm sure that was really, you know, made my day. So
anyway I think we've hit the bottom of the barrel and bounced.
And somebody just harvested eggs while working under farm in Farmville. There you go. Well,
I'm very excited for them.
I hope your eggs are in good shape. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Email me at avilspay@avilspay.com with questions, comments, suggestions for future topics, all of that kind of thing. Otherwise, tell your friends to listen. We enjoy listeners. And that's it. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See you, Yvonne. Have a good rest of the holiday weekend.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Bye.